So let's turn in the scriptures. Pastor will be back on the weekend, but let's turn in the book of Jeremiah. We are in chapter 37. And if I were naming the chapter, it would be naming it Zedekiah's Vain Hope. When we come to the third, this is really the third part of the book of Jeremiah, and it covers the period of Zedekiah the king. And these particular prophecies that Jeremiah is giving, really chapters 37, 38, and 39, we're going to cover just 37 tonight, they cover from the time that Zedekiah ascended to the throne until his captivity in Babylon. So he again gives us, as we begin our chapter, our study, the time of the prophecy. Verse 1.
Now King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah.
Okay, so Zedekiah was king. Not of his own lineage, not of his own ascendancy, but under the order of Nebuchadnezzar. I want you to note this, because when Jehoiakim died, you remember Jeremiah said, there won't be any of your family sitting upon the throne. Well, one of those sons, Jehoiachin, sought for a time to sit upon the throne. That lasted about 3 months until Nebuchadnezzar came back and deposed him, and instead he set up Zedekiah as the king over Judah, so that Jehoiakim was not succeeded by his own children. In other words, God used an unrighteous despot to fulfill his word. The word of the Lord was fulfilled in the words of verse 1, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, made king over the land of Judah. That'll be your first top 10. God's word is secure. Nothing can change it. God's word is secure. Nothing can change it. Okay, verse 2.
But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land gave heed to the words of the Lord, which he spoke to the prophet Jeremiah.
The people had closed their ears. It's as though they had clapped their hands over their ears. They shut themselves off. They shut out the warning of God, even though God had made himself clear once again from verse 1, because God had made it clear, it's not going to be the king of your choosing. It's going to be the king of my choosing. I said it wasn't going to be anybody from Jehoiakim. This was God's warning, and yet they still were not paying attention. Zedekiah himself, installed by Nebuchadnezzar, according to the word of the Lord, he refused to listen. Number 2, God's plan can be seen. God has a beautiful plan. It's laid out in his word. So I'm telling you, God's plan can be seen. Number 2, pay attention to it, because he is speaking. What we need to do always and all days is to pay attention to it, to read it, to hear it, to do it. God's plan can be seen. Now, the funny thing is, the king wouldn't pay attention to some of the things that God had said, and yet he would listen privately. He would call Jeremiah, and he would talk to him privately, but then publicly he would, not listening to you. Verse 3.
And Zedekiah the king sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, pray now to the Lord our God for us.
So although he would denounce Jeremiah, the king knew that Jeremiah was connecting with heaven. don't you want to be that friend that others know you're connecting with heaven? I'm going to ask you to pray for me. And that's exactly, Jeremiah is being the example for you and I to make sure that we are connecting with heaven on a daily basis. So when we encounter those who are messing up, tripped up, fouled up, or just encountering difficulty in their days, they will run and come to you and saying, pray for us. This was the king who sent multiple messengers to implore the prophet to ask God for help and favor. Many people will come to you, and they won't come to God because they feel that they're undeserving. But they know that you might have an in because you and he are friends. And that's what the king did here. He said, oh, Jeremiah, you're a friend of God. Would you ask him for favor for us? You know what? We need a really big favor here. Let us get away from the Babylonians. Come on, Jerry. Call out to the Heavenly Father, Elohim, call on his name, and see what you can do for us. It's a critical time for the nation, since the Chaldeans were not the only ones who were warring in the region. It wasn't just the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, that were fighting at that time. Verses 4 and 5.
Now Jeremiah was coming and going among the people, for they had not yet put him in prison. Then Pharaoh's army came up from Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard news of them, they departed from Jerusalem.
Who was coming up from Egypt? Pharaoh's army. So the Babylonian army was there. They were there knocking on the door of Judah. But when they heard the word that the Egyptian army was coming, they were backing out. They withdrew their men from Jerusalem. Verses 6 through 9, please.
Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come up to help you, will return to Egypt to their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come back and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely depart from us, for they will not depart.
Okay, so what the prophet is saying is, you think you're off scot-free. You know, we're free. The Chaldeans, the Babylonians, whichever name you want to call them, they're taken off. The Egyptian army has frightened them off. They've gone. Now we can do our own thing. Now we can be independent of Babylon, although they've taken over all of the rest of our nation. They've taken over the rest of Israel. Remember the 10 tribes of Israel, the 2 tribes of Judah. Okay, so that's, they're saying everybody else is gone, but we're going to be okay. Because these other guys, this other arm of flesh, these other men have come and they have saved us. Oh, let me just give you number 3 on our top 10. Don't look to man. Any man to save you, man cannot. Man cannot. First of all, let's think about this. Who was it that enslaved the Hebrew people for 400 years before this? The Egyptians. So why were the people of Judah thinking, oh, yeah, our friends, the Egyptians, they're coming to scare off our enemies. Why would they now become our deliverers? So the Israelites rebelled against the Babylonian authority, but Jeremiah warned them against this. He said, don't think you're free of them. They're going to return again. Because you can't look to any man, to save you, because they cannot. The first part of verse 10.
For though you had defeated the whole army of the Chaldeans.
Okay, that's enough. This is a laughable supposition that the prophet gives here. The weakened band of Judah, the last vestiges of the entire nation of Israel, defeating the entire Babylonian army. This hilarious thought begins with, even if you'd wiped out the whole army, if, which is completely preposterous, and then he comes on the rest of verse 10.
The Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained only wounded men among them, they would rise up, every man in his tent, and burn the city with fire.
Okay, so picture this. He is saying that if you puny little weak band of Judah were to wipe out all of the masses, all of the armaments, all of the strength of the Babylonian army, till all there was left were guys that were just about dead, the wounded Chaldeans, they would still get up and beat your tail. That's exactly what he's saying. Even if you think you got off scot-free, you think you're getting out. No. Even if you could have somehow defeated them, even if you'd been able to wipe them mostly out, they'd have still got up and burned you down. Do you know why? Because that was God's plan, to bring retribution on God's people for rejecting God's plan. Number four, you cannot escape God's plan. Don't resist him. Don't resist him. God had determined and told them already that he was going to deliver them into the hands of the Chaldeans, into the hands of the Babylonians. That means that even just a few weak, wounded men, they'd be able to take them on and defeat them, and they'll burn the city with fire. In other words, Judah has zero chance. Now, all of this is being prophesied while Jeremiah is free to travel about. But he's about to get imprisoned again as he goes on venturing out. Read for me, please, verses 11 and 12.
And it happened when the army of the Chaldeans left the siege of Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, that Jeremiah went out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to claim his property there among the people.
Okay, so here, there's a break in the heat of battle. Okay, because Babylon has been there flogging and slogging out all of Judah. And wait, there's a break in the fighting because they've taken off now because Egypt came up, and okay, so they're just withdrawing. So now let's go for a little walkabout. Jeremiah says, I think I'm going to break from the battle. I'm going to take off and go up to Benjamin to claim what was rightfully his. But verse 13.
And when he was in the gate of Benjamin.
This was just one of the gates of Jerusalem at that time, leading to where the tribe and the area of Benjamin was. So this is going through this gate. That's where he was. And the rest of verse 13.
A captain of the guard was there whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he sees Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You are defecting to the Chaldeans."
Now, you and I look at this and say, that's preposterous. We know he was with his people. Jeremiah was with his people. He was for his people. He was standing by his people. He was looking out for his people's best interest. But to others, namely Arijah and others that were there, because he had prophesied to them against those people and for the Chaldeans, They thought that he was a defector. And let me just remind you this, number five. Man looks on the outside. Only God looks at the inside. Man looks at what you see, what you think, what you hear, what you believe, but God looks to what he knows. And he's the only one that knows what's within our hearts. The scripture says the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. Only God knows our hearts. Now, these guys, Elijah, the captain of the guard, he thought of him as what we would call a Benedict Arnold, a turncoat, a treasonous traitor, and with that allegation, you have gone over for the Chaldeans. You've gone over to them. Verse 14.
Then Jeremiah said, "False, I am not defecting to the Chaldeans." But he did not listen to him.
Now, how, think about this, how could you prove that while you're running away from where you were to go to another place, getting to another place, that you're not defecting? In this instance, there is no evidence to the contrary that says, yes, I'm standing with Judah. I'm standing with King Zedekiah. I know I said a lot of things that the Chaldeans were going to wipe you out, but I'm standing only the word of Jeremiah and the feelings of his accusers. That was it. And the appearance of his actions going out the gate, that is why Elijah would not listen. And sometimes people you know will not listen because they're only looking at the outside. What do you have to do? You have to keep listening to God, reading his word, doing what it says, because that will transform the inside. And when you are doing in your heart what God has spoken to you, it does not matter what men may say. Okay. Read the rest of verse 14 and verse 15.
So Elijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Therefore, the princes were angry with Jeremiah, and they struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison.
Okay, so they struck him. They put him in prison. But I just want to let you know this. Here's number six. What man locks up, God can set free. What man locks up, God can set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we say, I'm binding him up. He's locked up. But Jesus has come and Jesus has set us free. I thank the Lord that he sets us absolutely free. Now, everyone was angry with the prophet. They beat him up, they put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, because the scripture says they'd already turned that into a prison. This is someone, the scribe is the one who is supposed to be writing the scriptures. And what have they done with the house of the one who was trained to copy scriptures? They had turned it into a prison. They were not doing things according to God's plan. They turned it into a prison. But it wasn't just a prison, as you'd think. Oh, they turned the house of Jonathan into a prison. Oh, that doesn't sound very bad, does it? It's like, okay, John's house. Yeah, they made a little holding pen. Okay, read verse 16.
When Jeremiah entered the dungeon.
The what?
The dungeon.
The dungeon. And?
The cells.
Ooh.
And Jeremiah had remained there many days.
Entered the dungeon. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to the dungeon. You know, prison's bad, but a dungeon, it's bad. It's bad. Okay, tell me the things when you think of. Close your eyes for a moment. and think of the dungeon. You think of the water that's leaking down. You think of the shackles and the chains that are on the wall. You think of the dirt and the damp and the rats. Okay, you can open your eyes because it gets pretty bad down there. That was the dungeon. That's where Jerry went. Oh, he did not like that. Now, I want you to see this. Okay, so Jeremiah is down in the dungeon. You don't have to close your eyes. Now, that's like the worst, right? Number 7. Even when your circumstance is at its worst, God is with you. Because God was right there with Jeremiah. Even when things look like they're dark, that they're at their worst, God is with you. So they imprisoned Jeremiah, thinking this that he was going to go over to the Babylonians. Jeremiah declared that that wasn't his intention, but they made him a prisoner anyhow to keep him from that. Verse 17.
Then Zedekiah, the king, sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?"
So Zedekiah, because he had been installed by Nebuchadnezzar, he still was beholden to the princes. And the princes, it says, that beat him, that smote him, that put him in prison. It was the princes. So Zedekiah, really, he had an obligation of service to hold them into account, but the king sent him and took him out. Now, it didn't say he took him out publicly. It sent and took him out, and what did he ask him? What was the circumstance of his question? He asked him secretly. So he goes to the scribe's house, and he asks in secret, "Jeremiah, psst. What's God saying?" I want you to understand this. Number 8, even though people reject you publicly, they will seek the truth in secret. They may put on a big show. Oh, yeah, oh, that Jesus freak, you know, that, oh, yeah, I listen to her. But in secret, when their heart is breaking, they're going to come to you. Even when they reject you publicly now, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't get so high and mighty in yourself. Well, they treated me like that. Oh, I'm not going to. You get that mush in your face. You know the one I'm talking about. You have to just allow the sensitivity to go. If they're seeking the truth, sometimes people just want to hear what they want to hear. Oh, please tell me exactly what I want to hear. I'm listening now. Oh, you're not what I want to hear. Oh, yeah, I can't. No. Talk to the hand. That's the way some people are. But if they are seeking the truth, welcome them with love and speak on behalf of God. We talked about this the last time we looked at study Jeremiah. When you are speaking for God, be ready. People want to listen. So he asks him in private, what is God saying? Is there any word from the Lord? So even when people reject you publicly, make sure that your heart is open when they seek the truth in secret. There was a word. Rest of verse 17.
And Jeremiah said, "There is." Then he said, "You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon."
Kind of like, aha, yes, there is. And the king is all excited. And the word of the Lord is, you're in for it. Yeah, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Do you know why Jeremiah could say that straight up? Jeremiah was in constant contact with heaven, just like you and I should be. You and I should stay in constant contact with heaven. Now, we've been past Jeremiah 33:3. I love that one because I tell people that's God's phone number. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not about. Going to blow your mind. So here is Jeremiah 37, and he says, you know what? I'm in touch with heaven, and yes, I have the word. And if you are prayed up, prepared, when someone asks you, what's the Lord saying? You can answer them just like that. And the word should be the word of the Lord that flows from your hearts over your lips to their ears. Number 9, stay in touch with heaven, because the answer is just a prayer away. Stay in touch with heaven, for the answer is just a prayer away. But the word of the Lord was not what the king was looking for. Verses 18 and 19.
Moreover, Jeremiah said to the king Zedekiah, what offense have I committed against you, against your servants, or against this people that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you or against this land?
No, Jeremiah asked a good question. King, what's your problem? What's the problem? What have I done to you? What have I done to your servants? What have I done to your people? What have I done to deserve prison? All I've done is spoken from heaven exactly as God called me, and I've been installed to this position. And of course, the answer is nothing. He had done everything right. Spoken on behalf of God. He had spoken to God on their behalf. But then he goes on to ask, oh, yeah, king. And where are the false prophets? Well, he doesn't call them the such, but the one who said, yeah, remember you had those guys that kept saying, don't worry about it, king. Don't worry about it, the former kings. Where is it that your guys that said, Babylon's not coming up here. They're not going to come up against you. Because these guys said this would not be happening. In other words, king, what's your problem? I manned up. Why don't they? Why don't they? I've manned up. Verse 20.
Therefore, please hear now, O my Lord the king, please let my petition be accepted before you, and do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there.
Now, I want you to hear the plea of the prophet. Please don't send me back to the dungeon. Please don't send me back to that prison. I'll die if you do. He'd been put there in the prison, in the dungeon, at the house of Jonathan the scribe, and he was pleading with the king. King, what have I done against you? You're killing me here. You're killing me here, king. You're killing me here, and I've done nothing wrong. Could you just help a guy out here, please? No. Is it wrong to plead your case with man? Absolutely not. Especially when your heart is pure and your actions are pure. What's the king's response? Verse 21.
Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread from the baker's street until all the bread in the city was gone. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison.
Okay, let's not put him back in the prison. That's what the king's response was. Let's not put him back in the dungeon. Let's put him in the court of the prison. In other words, not even really in the hard spot. And let's take care of him Let's take care of him as long as we have bread. As long as there is bread in the city. As long as we have bread, let him be fed. And that is what happened. So I'll give you number 10 because we've come to the end of our verses. Number 10. God will take care of you because he's promised us daily bread. This morning I was out over at the Fountains of Hope where I do services in the memory card on Wednesday mornings. And we pray the disciples or the Lord's Prayer, whichever you want to call it. Give us this day our daily bread. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. And here, the king who is living in rebellion to Almighty God still had to hear from heaven in his heart to say, let him be fed. Let's give him each day his daily bread. So, dear friends, God will take care of you. He's promised us daily bread. So what do we take home from Jeremiah 37? I'll give you the quick top 10 rundown. If you catch them, great. If you don't, you can always look at them on Facebook. And remember, if we're not friends on Facebook, what's wrong with you? Because I'm okay. It'll be posted on. Let me tell you, it's now 8 o'clock. Our dear friend Bello Knock is on America's Got Talent. This is his church home. Vote for Bello. There's another thing that I didn't even know about. This is not scriptural, and it's really not spiritual, but Bello's my friend. So vote for Bello when you go home, but you have to use the app, apparently, or NBC.com. Okay, the top 10. God's word is secure. Nothing can change it, number one. Number two, God's plan can be seen. Pay attention to it. Number three, don't look to man, any man, to save you. They cannot. Number four, you cannot escape God's plan for you, so don't resist him. Number five, man looks on the outside. Only God knows the heart. Number six, what man locks up, God can set free. Number seven, even in the worst of circumstances, God is with you. Number eight, sometimes people reject you publicly, but seek the truth in private. Be open to them. Number nine, stay in touch with heaven. The answer is just a prayer away. And number 10, God will take care of you. He has promised you. He's promised all of us daily bread. Lord, thank you for these simple truths that come from this chapter. Thank you for applying the principles to our hearts so that we can live our lives to please you, staying true to your word, living righteously, knowing that you give us this day our daily bread. May we share it with others with great joy because you are the bread of life. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Have a great night. Vote for Bello. See you on the weekend.